Air Force veteran Corey Christman is working to raise awareness for mental and behavioral health for first responders. Up next on Veteran on the Move.
Welcome to Veteran on the Move. If you're a veteran in transition, an entrepreneur wannabe, or someone still stuck in that J-O-B trying to escape, this podcast is dedicated to your success. And now, your host, Joe Crane.
The top 7 paths to freedom is my free gift to you for listening to the show, featuring 7 great ways for a veteran to take their first step into the exciting world of entrepreneurship. To receive your free gift, go to veteranonthemove.com. Or if you're listening on a mobile device, you can text the word veteran to 38470. Corey Christman serves as the Chief Executive Officer of Vethos LLC, a human capital leadership and executive strategy firm. He's a retired Supervisory Special Agent, United States Air Force Office of Special Investigations, and a veteran of Operation Iraqi Freedom. Since retiring in 2012, he's worked within the veteran advocacy space and is currently partnered with several key leaders to raise awareness for mental behavioral health for first responders nationwide. He's a recipient of numerous awards for leadership, human resource management, and innovation. And in 2017, he completed the Executive Leadership Program, Cornell University, and he holds an MBA in entrepreneurship and a BA in criminal justice. Corey Christman, welcome to Veteran on the Move. Thanks for being here. Before we get to talking about business entrepreneurship and what you're up to, take us back and tell us what you've been doing in the Air Force and government service.
Sure, Joe. First of all, thanks for having me on your show. You're doing a lot of great things, so I'm proud to be chatting with you and your guests. I retired in 2012 from the Air Force. Most of my career, I was a special agent for the Air Force, similar to NCIS, but for the Air Force, it's called OSI. So I had the opportunity to travel around, as you might imagine, like most military people, most vets, and one of the good thing about our organization is it was pretty much, even though it was a military organization, it was ran in many instances like a business. So upon my retirement, I've always been an entrepreneur at heart, and I was able to kind of get involved with now 2 businesses. One's in the behavioral analytics space, and the other is in the wine business. Ironically enough. So, but also since my retirement, I've worked in the veteran space, both in a regional and a national level, worked with organizations like the Institute for Veterans and Military Families at Syracuse University, also worked a little bit with Student Veterans of America. And so when I'm not doing the wine and I'm not doing the behavioral analytics, I'm still involved in the veteran space, kind of as much as I can be.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about how you got into the behavioral analytics side of things.
Sure. Well, as you might imagine, in my military occupation, behavioral analytics, both from a interview standpoint and also both a kind of a written word and a spoken word. It really, military and the Air Force spent a lot of time and effort in training me in those disciplines, and I was able to kind of correlate that to business strategies. So now basically what my company does is we actually will work with businesses, small and large, across the country that actually use predictive analytics to help them hire the best behavioral fits for their organization. Oftentimes, you have a traditional hiring where, you have a resume and interviews and things like that. There's really no checks and balances. And so what we're able to do is offer scientific, validated approaches to help them protect their companies and also help them grow their culture based upon who's really the best fit for the jobs.
Oh, interesting. So, and how do you actually go about doing that?
Sure. So it's a kind of a two-part process. One, there's a predictive assessment, and it's actually called the predictive index, that we use that lets the CEO or business owner know this is what they're getting from a DNA perspective. Measures a person's drives in four key areas, dominance, extroversion, patience, and formality. And then what we do is we actually create a behavioral profile for a given role. So let's say, a sales manager or say human resources manager. So we'll work with leaders within the company to create a profile for that role. And then when applicants start applying to that position, we'll compare their individual role with the role of the position to determine fit. Plus, we'll actually help sometimes conduct the interviews if it's a critical position. But more or less, we want to serve as a system of checks and balances for the companies. So.
Yeah, and with your company Vethos, did you start the company yourself, or how did you get involved with it?
Yeah, After I retired, I did have a couple stints in the corporate world. I reached the pinnacle of my success. Realized that it just wasn't for me, and so I started Vethos to kind of address some of the things that I've seen in my four or so years working in the corporate space, focusing on organizational development, culture, leadership. Right now, there's a leadership gap in our country, as I'm sure you're aware, based upon the number of guests you've had talking about the very important topic. But it's really about helping companies build culture and helping them understand that, it's not only leadership that people need, it's basic, organizational development. So I was able to start the company and work with a few different consultancies in the process of doing it. And, we've been going for about 18 months now, and it just keeps growing and growing.
Now with Vethos, how did you spin off and get into the mental and behavioral health for first responders area?
Well, that's a great question. One of the things that I was asked when I retired is, why didn't you stay in the federal law enforcement space? And, it was a job that I loved. I worked with some of the most highly qualified and fantastic leaders that you can imagine. And quite simply, I saw a lot of things, as most military, members and veterans can say that they've experienced. And in my personal situation, I didn't talk about those things for over 15 years. And obviously had experienced some behavioral health struggles myself, and ultimately decided that it was in my best interest to, seek help. One of the things that we've been able to do is just kind of continue to raise awareness in the veteran space, talking to people individually and working with various organizations to keep lowering the bar and reducing the stigma for veterans. Most recently, been able to spend some time on Capitol Hill, and now we want to take it to the next level, which is first responders, police, fire, EMS. That's the next step, and it's really beyond needed in our country, and we're helping leaders figure it out from a financial perspective, because there's even less resources for our first responders than there are veterans. So,
yeah, that's interesting. So I'm sure that there's a lot of similarities on the first responder side as to what's going on with veterans, but obviously there's a massive amount of money and help being poured into the veteran side these days. The first responders are kind of split up and fractured, divided into, local municipalities, city, state, that kind of thing. Aren't really don't have a lot of that big, heavy federal type funding and programs available to them.
Right. Yeah. You hit the nail on the head there. So I'm working with a company called Vet Advisor Services. They've been in the veteran space now for decade, and they offer a holistic coaching model in four key areas, behavioral health, wellness, finance, careers, and they just added a fifth, which is basically called navigational advocacy. And the reason this model has been so successful is because about 70% of their employees are veteran, guard, reservists, or military family members. So it's literally a peer-to-peer approach. When they call veterans, they can say, hey, I am a veteran, or I'm also I'm kind of familiar with some of the scenarios you've been through. And so the model has been wildly successful, both from a DOD perspective and a VA perspective right now. And we want to carry a scaled down version of that model into the first responder space, and working with employee assistance programs on how to fund it, right? Because many of these departments and agencies can barely afford to pay their personnel. So that's the key now, is raising awareness and in a hope to get financial wherewithal to make it happen.
Right. So are you looking to go, are you on the more of the nonprofit side of things in order to raise money, or are you on the for profit?
Well, I think structurally, from a business standpoint, we're in the for-profit space, and there's, you know, some people have different opinions about that. But I think right now it's going to be kind of a collection of both nonprofit and for-profit, because I think the first phase of it is just getting it off the ground. We can't afford to keep waiting and basically raising, you know, relying on excuses. We got, you know, cops that are killing themselves at alarming rates, just like we have veterans. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we can make excuses or make a difference, right? So, and to answer your question, yeah, you know, I think we can, it'll probably be a little of both, just until we can get the funding streams worked out. But there's enough interest from various groups. I've partnered with a friend of mine. He's a retired NHL goalie, Clint Malarchik. He's in Canada, is really doing great in their first responder mental health focus. And so between Clint and I and several others, we're kind of trying to connect the dots between what Canada's doing and what hopefully America can mimic.
All right. Well, hey, Corey, hold on. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Have you joined the Veteran on the Move Facebook group? I personally invite every guest that I have on the podcast to join the group. So the Veteran on the Move Facebook group is a great way to connect with previous podcast guests. Our Facebook group will keep you in touch with other veterans that are transitioning to entrepreneurship, and you will also get great updates and free guides on the people, programs, and resources that will help you in your transition to entrepreneurship. All right, we're back with Corey Christman from Vethos. We were talking with Corey about his involvement in mental and behavioral health for first responders, being a veteran himself and seeing quite a bit over his career in the Air Force with law enforcement side of things, heavily involved in that. And so, you know, just to clarify, you've been working through an organization called Vet Advisor. They definitely are very familiar with the veteran space with mental and behavioral health. But you're bringing a first responder element to them, and working closely with them because they've been in that space for a while and they've got funding and that kind of thing. So if there's some first responders out there that are looking for some assistance with mental behavioral health, what's the best way for them to get in touch with, you know, the services you guys are providing?
Sure. That's awesome. It'd be the best way for them right now in the early stages is just to contact me directly. They can hit my website at myvethos.com. I'm on LinkedIn, Twitter, whatever, you know, mechanism that they want to use. And I will be happy to facilitate, you know, the connection from there.
Okay. Well, that sounds great. So, Corey, we were talking before the show, you know, in addition to your involvement with Vethos and in the Vet Advisor program, you also got involved in winemaking recently, and you're also using your winemaking as a way to help support the cause also.
Yeah, it's exciting times. I got my hands in a number of different projects at the moment. I've been working in the Finger Lakes wine region of New York State now for almost 5 years. Kind of professionally trained winemaker. Still have a lot to learn, but proud to work with a winery called Anthony Road Wine Company. And we are in the process of releasing a veteran and first responder focused wine label that will showcase a lot of the great wines that are being made in New York State. And we'll also raise awareness and celebrate our veterans and first responders. We're still finalizing structure, still finalizing labels and names right now. But we'll be actually the first vintage will be kicking off this fall. It's exciting. There's a lot of beer guys and gals out there. And right now there's one or two wine labels in the country that I'm aware of right now that are focused on veterans. So we're excited to get in the mix.
Yeah, there's something about, you know, veterans and police and beer that all go together. But I guess maybe the more refined veterans and police may cross over to the wine side of things. So
I tell you what.
Go ahead.
No, I tell you what. I invite people to consider New York. You know, I'm from New York, born and raised there most of my life. And it's one of the most undervalued wine regions in our country. The wines that are being made there are spectacular, quite frankly. And I'm not just saying that for the obvious, but I've had the ability to travel, much like most vets and military folks do. And I'll tell you, there's just some great things happening there. And our average wine price right now in the Finger Lakes is below $20. So you can't argue with the economics.
Yeah. So how does one actually go about becoming a professionally trained winemaker?
Well, there are several universities around the country. Actually, there's more than several, but several prominent universities around the country that actually teach enology or winemaking and viticulture, which is grape growing. One of the most famous institutions is University of California at Davis, or UC Davis. Cornell University has a great program in New York. There's some other Napa Valley Community College, believe it or not, to your community college right in Napa Valley has a fantastic program. So it really depends on what you want to do. Do you want to go in a traditional classroom setting and learn kind of in a from a textbook lecturer kind of mindset? Or do you want to mix it up and do part traditional education and part hands-on? In the Finger Lakes, we just opened a brand new wine program at the Finger Lakes Community College, which we have our own winery and own vineyard, which several of those other universities I mentioned have as well. So it really becomes typically two paths. You either can decide to become a winemaker and focus on the production side, or you can decide to become a grape grower and work in the vineyards. If you're in the industry long enough, you kind of, they sometimes blend together, no pun intended. You know, you can do a little of both. But that's kind of a typical way to go about it.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, it makes sense, but I had no idea you could go to Cornell or UC Davis for winemaking or grape growing. It's interesting.
Yeah. There's many universities, but those are a couple of the few that come to mind right now. So,
yeah. Now, I mean, how's it work up in the New York area where obviously it's getting below freezing and, you know, potentially heavy snow and everything else through the winter? How do they survive?
Yeah. So in the Finger Lakes region, for those that aren't familiar, it's a series of lakes. There's three lakes right now that have the most wineries around them. Cayuga Lake, which is in the Ithaca region of New York. Then you have Seneca Lake, which is the lake that I work on, which is in the Geneva, Watkins Glen area, and then Cayuga Lake. So those lakes offer a lot of what are called microclimates that allow the grapes to grow fantastic, right? They grow excellent. And those microclimates kind of offer cooling. And in many instances, there's no need for irrigation like you would see in California and some of the other wine regions. Last summer, we needed irrigation because we had an abnormally warm growing season. But in the winter, one of the things that we do is we actually do a process called hilling up, which is where we take the dirt along each side of the grapevine, and we actually cover the union between the part of the vine that is underground and the part of the vine that is above the ground, and we cover that up with dirt to protect the grapevine itself. We on certain winters where we have back-to-back negative temperatures, negative 10, 5, those ranges, we do have some vines that don't make it, but by and large, the vines and the grapes that we grow, they keep coming back year after year. So,
yeah. Now the wine that you guys are making in support of the behavioral health and to raise money and awareness for first responders, how does it work? I know you haven't released the wine yet, but how does that work revenue-wise or financially in the intricacies of that? Can you explain that?
Yeah. So it'll be a traditional wine tasting offering. It'll be made just like any other wine that's made. And from a production standpoint, the quantities are going to start very small. Probably the first vintage will be under 1,000 cases. And so for those that aren't familiar with wine, that's very small production. And then what we'll do is as we sell the wine, portions of the proceeds from the sales will go towards first responders and law enforcement, entities that are supporting wellness for, first responders and vets alike. So the goal is just, in addition to that, obviously, we're going to do some plans to focus some labeling to enhance that as well.
Okay, so like a certain percentage or a fixed dollar amount per bottle is donated to certain organizations?
Right, and then, one of the things that we're working with right now with some branding folks that are much smarter than I is can we further celebrate veterans and first responders in our labeling and packaging as well. So it won't be just a donation. It's designed to just celebrate the professions and donate as well. So
yeah. So if we circle back around to where we're at at the beginning with the veteran PTSD and mental behavioral health versus first responders. Obviously, we can understand what the commonalities might be, but are there any distinctive differences that are there?
I think in my travels and in talking to, police and firefighters around the country, there's certainly a lot of similarities, as you mentioned, and I think the differences is that they're probably even the negative impact associated with, PTS and anxiety and depression I think is less understood on a national scale for first responders than it is for veterans. And, you know, right now there's a mortality rate, you know, they're about 50% within the first 5 years that a law enforcement officer, you know, retires. So that's huge, right? And that's not just attributed to mental and behavioral health, but nonetheless, I mean, I think, you know, some of the differences are, it's not talked about as much. It's not addressed, right? There's really no way to address it. Some law enforcement entities now have peer support programs, but oftentimes what we see is it's a senior trooper, it's a senior officer that has a regional responsibility and a very well-meaning, but there's less of a likelihood, right now for that junior or younger officers in some cases to want to communicate, right? Either they don't know the person or maybe they feel that, you know, they're uncomfortable. So the goal is to try to, you know, inject some comfort there to where, much like in the past several years, we've seen an increase in veterans saying, hey, listen, I need to talk to someone. Right now, we want to make that happen in the first responder space as well.
Yeah. And, you know, and when you say, you know, 50% of officers that retire, there's a 50% mortality rate. Like, is there an average age associated with that?
You know, there isn't, but what I would encourage your listeners to do is, you know, the FBI has a report that they publish every year, and it's, I'm trying to remember, it's law enforcement officers. I can't remember the acronym right now, but they actually produce a report every year that focuses on this mortality rates and things that are measurable, both from their on-duty officers and officers that are retired. I'll email it to you once we get off the show, but maybe you can include it in the show notes. But
okay,
those numbers are something that I think people would probably be pretty shocked at. So,
yeah, that sounds that's crazy. I had no idea. I mean, I guess now that you know you talk about it, identify it, I guess it makes sense. But I guess never really looked into it that much. Okay. Well, hey, we're getting close to the end here, and just go ahead and give us your website one more time there, Vethos, and how to contact you if anybody's looking for some more information.
Sure. The website is myvethos, so myvethos.com. Again, they can hit me up on LinkedIn, just Corey Christman. My email is corey@myvethos.com. And anybody that wants to chat, anybody that wants to get involved, more importantly, anybody that, you know, wants to extend a hand, we'll move heaven and earth to get you help. That's what we're doing from that regard. So.
All right, Corey. Well, great. Thanks for being here. And thanks for doing the things you're doing, helping out our first responders, which, you know, deserve as much attention and help as any veterans do. So oftentimes they're left behind.
Joe, thank you for what you're doing. Like I mentioned earlier, you've had some fantastic success with your show. I've listened to it often. So I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you. Thank you.
You bet, Corey. All right. These two veterans are Oscar Mike. As you can tell from listening to the Veteran on the Move podcast, interviews are a great way to tell your story and spread the word about your business. If you would like to get booked as a podcast guest, I recommend Interview Valet. You can check out Interview Valet at veteranonthemove.com/valet. Be sure to check out thrive15.com, the world's premier online education platform that helps entrepreneurs, aspiring entrepreneurs, and entrepreneurs learn how to start or grow a successful business. Start your free 30-day membership by going to thrive15.com and use the promo code VETERAN.
Thank you for listening to Veteran on the Move, your pathfinder to freedom. If you like the show, leave us a review on iTunes. Reviews are always greatly appreciated. So until next time, this veteran is Oscar Mike.